The Constitution of the United States says that the president from time to time should give a State of the Union address to let people know how things are going. Well, Dr. D. James Kennedy, for whom I had the privilege to serve for many, many years and am still at the ministry that he founded by God's grace, started the practice of having annual messages on the spiritual state of the nation. And we're going to talk about the spiritual state of the nation right now in this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Alex McFarland, who is a wonderful evangelist, a culture warrior, author, speaker, truth for a new generation. That is his big mix or his big push. And so we're going to talk with Alex right now. Alex, thanks so much for joining us again. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I have such respect for everything that you and Dr. Kennedy did and then all the things that you continue to do. God is using you in a mighty way, and it's always an honor to speak with you.
Well, likewise, God is definitely using you too. Okay, so let's get into the topic at hand, the spiritual state of the union. How about an overall picture? How are we doing as a nation spiritually?
Well, I think spiritually we're in trouble as a nation, but at the same time, I think it's encouraging to know that people are searching and people are hungry. And I really think, Jerry, that with the world in the turmoil that it is, I mean, there are, you know, wars around the world, economic problems, you know, the breakdown of the family, even things like childlessness and population concerns. People are asking, you know, what's real, what's true, where is some solid ground in the times that seem eroding all around us. And therein lies an opportunity for the church to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, the Bible says, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Those who seek shall indeed find. Now, Alex, when it comes to the political realm, it's hard to be optimistic these days because if I feel like we're seeing before our very eyes the undoing of what the founding fathers created here in America, you know, beginning, you know, with all kinds of different political machinations, lawfare, as opposed to, you know, letting the people get their voice be heard. But also just the fact that so many millions of young people today know nothing about the founding fathers, and the little they know is all negative, and they want to kind of, in effect, tear it all down so they can supposedly create some sort of utopia for the future.
Yeah, and let me say, every Christian has the number one calling to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. But secondly, we are called to be good citizens. And as such, here in the United States of America, I believe that the church has a specific call to help defend our Judeo-Christian representative republic, which is in trouble. And Jerry, as you mentioned, so many young people that have, you know, gone K through 12 through public education and maybe college in a state school, they really don't know how our country operates. They what little they may know about the founding fathers is a horribly twisted message condemning them through the lens of modern social justice, which itself is very antisocial and very unjust. But, you know, several decades of bashing America in the classroom has weakened our country. No doubt our country and our process, due process, it has been weakened. And now, you know, in a way, the presidential election of 2024 is starting to look like the presidential election of 1860, where Democrats vehemently fought to keep Abraham Lincoln off the ballot. Well, you know, they're fighting to try to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Regardless of what you think of Donald Trump, all Americans on either side of the political spectrum should care that we have a level playing field, a fair country that follows due process. And all of those things, my goodness, every foundation stone of a civilized society is in jeopardy right now, Jerry. You know, the family, marriage, career, economy, gender itself is being denied, and the rule of law. We honestly need God to intervene because our country is, I think, in possibly the greatest crisis of its history.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were mentioning earlier state schools, that people go through state schools and they're going to end up with a very anti-American perspective. But that's true for the Ivy League schools, of course. And the Ivy League schools, we know they were the first to be founded in America for the most part, and they were all Christian-based. And now they're anti-Christian, and their filth and garbage has spread to all the different colleges, you know, with very few exceptions, like Liberty, Hillsdale College, Grove City College, Ave Maria, you know, in Florida. I mean, there's very, very few you can point to and say, oh, this is a college where at least you may hear both sides. In the other colleges, you're going to hear the one side, and it's not even true.
Yeah, and you know, that's the reason that it's been pointed out by a number of people, even Charles Wesley, the founder of Methodism, that in a way, the prosperity that follows living out a Christian worldview, unless we're very vigilant to stay true to the Lord, Christianity cannibalizes itself. And I'm sure you've heard the very famous chronology laid out by Richard Unwin of Cambridge, that nations go through protective, productive, prosperous, promiscuous. You know, protective, fight and build the country like happened in the American Revolution. And then there's productive. You build houses, clear land, farm the land, build businesses. And then there's a long season of prosperity. So there's protective, productive, prosperous. But then generations down the road, if kids that are born don't realize the blood, sweat, tears, godliness, morality that it took to build the prosperous nation, there's promiscuity. And I really think that's where we are, Jerry. I think our nation is deeply steeped in promiscuity. And by that, I mean relativism, hedonism, no objective laws are acknowledged, living only for pleasure. And unless, many people have said this, but it's true, unless there's a return to God, a repentance from sin, and a turning back, just like ancient Rome and so many societies, the state of entrenched promiscuity will be our undoing. And we're very vulnerable right now. I mean, it seems unthinkable, and I don't mean to sound pessimistic. I'm just being a realist. But Russia, China, an Islamic terrorist state, you know, in our lifetimes, the United States of America could be turned into something horribly different. And what made this possible, not to say that conservative Republicans always do everything right, but the Democrats have spent decades bashing our government, bashing the Constitution, poisoning the minds of people about the founders. And then ministers and my fellow pastors in the world, for whom I have a mixture of pity and contempt, pastors just say, don't vote, it doesn't even matter. Christians should live only for heaven. And God can still save America, but we're going to have to want it. I mean, why should God intervene on behalf of America when the Christians themselves, in large measure, don't seem to care for America?
You know, there is a statement that says, as the pulpit goes, so goes the nation. Would you agree with that idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, even the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson, who I've actually heard through Oz Guinness, a colleague and friend, that he has either made a Christian commitment or is very close to that, but I like a lot of what Jordan Peterson is saying these days. But Jordan Peterson had a video out in July about a year ago, really frustrated with pastors, because he said, you know, don't get up there and be some sort of motivational speaker. He said, save some souls, pastors. That's what your job is. And it's right. As you said, as the pulpit goes, so goes the nation. Charles Spurgeon, 140 years ago, said that the pew doesn't rise above the pulpit. And what he meant by that was, what Spurgeon meant was, if pablum and just milk toast is coming from the pulpit, that's generally what the spiritual state is going to be in the pew. That the persons in the pew, with rare exception, are not going to be more spiritual and more godly than the person teaching them from the pulpit. And I really do think, and you know, Jerry, I can say this, having pastored two churches myself and having spoken in 2000, I really do feel like I'm in a position to offer a little bit of critique. In not all, but in many American churches, what's coming from the pulpit is, as the Bible would say, an uncertain sound. You know, we're called to urge sinners to repent, urge people to believe, urge Christians to live as disciples. We're called to, in specifics, edify, but also critique. You know, somebody asked Billy Sunday one time, the famed evangelist of the Sawdust Trail 100 years ago, you know, how is it that so many people respond to your preaching? And Billy Sunday said, name the sins. And what he meant by that was that we are supposed to be very specific, not vague. I mean, if you want people to repent from sexual immorality, then specifically call out sexual immorality. If you want people to do something, you have to be specific about what you're calling them to do. And there's nothing going on in our world that the Word of God doesn't address, from immorality, gender, spiritual issues, standing strong with Israel, leadership, morals. I mean, anything that our country currently faces is addressed by the Word of God, but so many pastors are afraid of offending a parishioner. But let me just say, and again, I've done more than two decades of pastoring, so I know the fine line of diplomacy that many ministers think they have to walk. Part of, I guess it's an occupational hazard. Some people are going to be offended, but no offense, no effect. If we want to affect positive change for God and country, we're going to have to say some things that invariably might rub people the wrong way. But
wow, that is so true.
We can't. Yeah.
And we have 45 seconds left. Boy, talk about name the sin in the spiritual state of the union, abortion. You want to end on that? 40 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the greatest sin of all, because, I mean, our Constitution guarantees the right to life. And the left has been diligent to remove legal protection for the unborn. And so I'm just going to say it, Jerry. I don't think anybody can be a born-again Christian and vote Democrat. You're either not thinking or you're in a state of disobedience if you would do that, because they stand against what God affirms, and they stand for the things God condemns.
All right, we are out of time. AlexMcFarland.com. Thanks, Alex.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate you so much.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.